I practiced this earlier. There we go. All right, I'm on. I made sure the button needs to go this way and not this way on my little pack. So, all right, it's almost dummy proof. So, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Wow, spring is coming. That's a statement of faith. Come on, where's your faith? It is. It's slowly coming, right? It's slowly coming. But it's such an exciting time of year, and so glad to see everybody today, and those certainly online as well. We've got an exciting day as we've been going through it already today. Just a few things I wanted to touch base. Flourish t-shirts, are they okay? All right, I'm not turning any money table things today, but t-shirts are welcome center. If you want to get, for Mother's Day, what a wonderful time coming up in a few weeks. Or we have the Flourish Women of Grace Conference t-shirts are still, they're on sale in the Welcome Center. So visit that if you'd like to purchase a shirt for a gift or yourself, obviously. Last week I mentioned we're going to have a church picnic. I think I forgot to mention the month it was in. I thought you were being led by the Spirit, but it's July. July 21st is our church picnic. Yeah, we're going to have it here on campus. We're excited. We've been doing that for the last few years. And mark your calendar. So for newbies, that picnic happens right after service. So I'm kind of thinking, I'm going to talk to the pastoral staff. But I see a lot of times we come to church in our suits, and that's nice. Everything's great. Come as you are, where you're coming. But maybe we all show up in the sanctuary in shorts and like summer gear. I don't know. I got to think this through. I got a few claps. We'll think it. We can, that way we can just go to the picnic outside afterwards. So we'll see. Because it gets so crowded in those bathrooms. Everybody trying to change. So I don't know. We'll pray about it, I guess. We'll see what we got to do here. What a wonderful I'll get out of this real quickly. Baptism service. Didn't we have a wonderful baptism service last week? Yeah, it was great. Really, really wonderful. And the lives that were participating in that. And you guys were great with that. And Pastor Mike and I want to thank Pastor Mike. We did well. Everybody that went under came up and left. So that was great. So we will have another one at this year if you missed out. I don't know when, but probably early fall or into summer. But we'll see. A concert announcement. I'm just announcing it because they've already advertised it. So we were getting some phone calls. On October 3rd, 10th Avenue North will be here. So, yeah, we've had Mike Donahue. He's actually preached on a Sunday here once. So they'll be back October 3rd. You'll get more information. Tickets are on sale for that now. And as Ed, just to echo what Ed was saying, men, come on, it's this Saturday. Joe Jackson, breakfast, those are two great combinations you can put together. And you need to come out if you can. So don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. We're known for procrastinating men, right? And so Wednesday is the last day because we've got to get food in, the breakfast in, and everything. So definitely it's a great time. Register, please. Don't call Friday morning. If you do, I'm putting you on speakerphone in the office asking that you need a ticket for the breakfast. Come on, man. You can get organized. All right, I know I'm speaking to myself, too, but all right. Hey, I just want to kind of hit this. We want to do this off and on. I don't want to feel like it's a ritual of anything, but why are we here? This isn't the message for today, but I want to bring that up, and I know some of the other pastors will be doing it, too. Why are we here? I mean, as a church, Faith Christian Center, not a general life question. I mean, those are that's important as well, too. But as Faith Christian Center, why are we here? We're here as most churches come together, right? We come from different ethnic and economic backgrounds, different geological differences, coming in from different areas through that one driveway right there, coming together for something greater than ourselves, right? Which is God and what Jesus did on the cross for us and God's love for us and doing that as a church community. We are a family. I need to give you a shirt off my back if you need it. We are the family of God. But so are we of the family of God with other churches around too. But we are, what we do is a church community, which is more specifically. And what does that look like for Faith Christian Center? Well, it comes right out of Matthew 28, and we did some of it last week. Go and make disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Jesus' last words. How many disciples do I have in this room? It is not a trick question. We're all disciple. We're all in ministry to do this, right? Okay. So then how does Faith Christian Center see that mission be walked out? And you've heard this and you'll continue to hear this over and over again. Because hopefully you are experiencing at least some part of this vision when you come onto campus and when you leave onto campus to take it into your daily life. It's teaching, reaching, and connecting. What am I doing right now? I'm not teaching, I'm yelling, but I'm teaching. I'm going to teach soon, right? There's teaching, you're here teaching. There's reaching. You had to come out of your comfort zone on a Sunday when you could have stayed home. If you're online, no discredit, you at least had to pick up the remote and hit click. So I appreciate that. No, you're investing your time into what's going on here today. So we're equally doing this. We're reaching. We're reaching to show God's love too in our daily lives, right? So you take this with you when you leave or click the TV off. It goes beyond just these hour and a half or whatever we're here for. And then we're connecting when we're here on campus. We're connecting through small groups. I know I was beating you up about small groups, but you're also connecting through a men's event that's coming up. You were connecting through a women's thing the other day. These are connections that we're making. Then you're taking the spirit and the momentum, that God spirit connection, and taking it out into your workplace, your marketplace, everywhere it needs to go, even in your family. All right? But that's the vision of Faith Christians, teaching, reaching, connecting. And I would encourage you to appraise yourself if you're beginning to plug into this church community. Am I experiencing, and this isn't even the message, am I experiencing or exercising this vision in my life? You can answer that. We can't. Because if you are, you're truly becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not how great our programs and our thinking is and how great we quote scripture to you. It's because God's ordained this space for you to be in right now. And this is a God-driven thing. This is Jesus' church. And he's welcomed us in it to be a part of a bigger plan than we could ever imagine. Ever imagine. So that's mission and vision at Faith Christian. I would encourage you, another thing I want to hit, the marriage event. If you're married, come out. The last one we had was phenomenal. Come out to this one. Then there's one even in October. We've designed it specifically under the Extraordinary Marriages to make it a very dimensional time that you're here. It's sharing, it's talking, and it doesn't matter wherever your marriage is. You will benefit from it. God has taken two different people and said, come together and become one. He has a sense of humor. We just didn't know it would be in that way. Come out. Come out. No matter where if your marriage is about to fall apart at the seams, you need to be here. If you've been married for 50 plus years and you can read each other's mail before you open the envelope, you need to be here. Just come out and be here. What did Pastor say today? What was his message? Oh, he just said be here. I don't know what the message was. Whatever I got to come to, I guess. All right. Well, let's jump in here to the message. The message today is called, and we may not get this all done today. We have Joe Jackson going to preach on a Sunday too. Then we have D2L take over the next Sunday. So we'll do what we can today and get all this in. But the message is called The Climb. Woohoo, all you exercise aficionados. Can you put that slide up? We're going to get the anchor truth for this today. We are called to follow Christ, we know that, and sometimes this requires us to climb higher in our lives. The climb helps us grow and gain a greater perspective on God's kingdom. In this adventure, we find that on some days, the journey is just as important as our destination. There's a lot there, and we're going to try and unpack that today. It's mainly, this message is going to come out of Matthew chapter 5. We know this well. There is so much in here. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is really gaining momentum in his ministry, right? He was just tempted by Satan and all that stuff that was going on there, and Satan wanting him to bow, basically partner with him to rule this earthly world, and Jesus did not do that. And then he begins his ministry, and one of his first messages in Scripture in Matthew 4 was, repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. Then he begins to collect disciples, calling them out, inviting them as he invites you and I, come follow me, as he's ending Matthew 4. Then he gets into the ministry himself, and they're affecting their local community with teaching and healing, as Jesus did in ministry. And it's beginning to grow a lot of crowds. And Jesus takes that time and that season right there at the beginning of this ministry that is about to really expand and go further. He takes this time to take his disciples up on a mountain, the climb. And we hear the Sermon on the Mount that we're about to read, and the Beatitudes that are insulated in this sermon itself. And it's interesting because Jesus did, we know, he did everything intentionally. Because why? He was following his Father's will and mission. And because the ministry was about to get going and do very well, and you had these young disciples that just jumped on board and said, I will follow you. Don't know where we're going. Some of you asked too many questions. Don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. So let's dive into this Matthew 5. We're going to go to 1 through 16. And I'm going to do my best not to stop because I'm going to unpack it afterwards and go from there. So can we go to Matthew 5, 1:16? So they're up on the mountain. They've climbed up, and you can just see they're probably sitting around and they're like, I don't know what's going on here. But Jesus wants to say something, right? So it says on verse 1, one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. And this is where we get into the Beatitudes. He says, God blesses those who are poor and realize they need the need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Second one, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Third one, God blesses those who are humble, some translation says meek, for they will inherit the whole earth. Next one, God blesses those who are hungry and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Next one, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Next one, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Next one, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And saving the best for last in these Beatitudes, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. He goes on, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you, which will never happen in 2014, and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Then Jesus shifts here out of those Beatitudes. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? You can make it salty again, and it will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Then he goes to the next one. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That is a lot for a little sit down that Jesus had on a side of a mountain. Can we agree on that? That's a lot there. But what is happening? Like I said, the ministry is growing. And it's not Jesus International Ministry. It's God's ministry, right? And the disciples are like, man, we hooked our train probably. They're thinking all of this. I mean, they're climbing up a mountain. They sat down. And Jesus is talking about being poor? Now, I don't want my physique to misinterpret you, but I don't like walking. So in those days, they didn't have a lot of transportation unless you, that was a joke, by the way, Ben, thanks for laughing. In those days, they didn't have a lot of transportation. So when you were walking somewhere, you were pretty darn intentional about it, I would hope, right? So I'm going up a mountain. I don't know where we're going. And I just sat down. Jesus saying, I got to be poor. What is going on here? Well, Jesus was laying a foundation at a critical time. Because if they didn't get what he just talked about in this message, they probably wouldn't have followed him much further. Well, they split off and do their own churches or their own ministry. Because it's so critical. What Jesus was teaching, and God was speaking through him, obviously, he was teaching kingdom practices and beliefs. I should go back because you need to believe before you practice, I believe. So kingdom beliefs and practices. That's what this is all mainly about. In my kingdom, God's kingdom, you need to do these things and act away and practice these certain things. So he's teaching them that this is about kingdom, for lack of a better term, business. That we're about to go on this journey. And this journey, which is some of that slide that we said, when I said Jesus is more just as caring about your journey as your destination. In this situation, and just because the words rhyme doesn't mean it's cute, but I was thinking this morning, the journey was going to lead them into maturity on where they needed to go with Jesus' ministry. I'm going to say that one more time. The journey, which is important to Jesus, and it is, he cares about our details, our desires, and things like that. But in this case, being on a side of a mountain, they just had to climb up. He's caring about the journey they're about to go on. But specifically, that journey should lead to a maturity on where they have to be as the followers of Christ. Some of us don't want to hear all that part. Be honest, right? I got saved. I come to church. Don't you tell me what to do. Maturity? But it should be part of your journey. Today in 2024. Yeah, I mean, the other thing too is you see, it says in the beginning of the scripture is, they left a crowd of people at the bottom of the mountain. So you can just think the disciples, wait a minute, they need you and we're walking away from this? And I say that to say this. Make sure you're hearing from God at all times. Because what may look like you should do because you did yesterday may be different today. So they left a crowd of people that are like, Jesus, we want to hear your words. And the disciples are climbing up the mountain saying, wait a minute, what we're here to do? We're leaving. What's going on? Because Jesus had to impart into them these beatitudes and this message for kingdom business, for kingdom business. And he was establishing, obviously, faith more into that, that we needed to trust Jesus and where he was leading them up this mountain. But don't, how many, you guys, you know, you may not have, no show of hands who didn't climb the mountain, but you know, you see those bumper stairs I drove up Mount Washington and things like that. But when you get to a top of a mountain, an elevated place, you see a bigger perspective of things, correct? So Jesus wanted to make sure that physically they were seeing this, I believe. So you're seeing this whole area of this mountain, and I'm talking to you about this. I have to lift you up from where you are now because I need to grow you where we need to go and mature you and climb these things. And it's so important. What I would say to you, and even we were singing earlier, God, I believe for that. And we're talking about miracles and God's working in our lives and he'll turn graves into gardens. He's amazing God to do things. But some of us takes us to back up from our perspective and maybe go to a higher place to really see what's going on. Gratitude is such a, this is my message, gratitude is such a powerful thing. I was standing in line yesterday at Panera Bread, and I was losing my patience. Can I be up front with you? I wasn't losing it, but it was like, man, I got things to do, people to see. Because somebody ordered like 2 dozen bagels that they wanted hand cut in this machine. And I was entertained for a minute that this machine could cut bagels. But after a while, we're getting into 2 minutes, it seems like 10 minutes. I'm like, oh my gosh. But then the Holy Spirit kicked me in the butt. Literally, I didn't want like that. He says, here you're waiting in line for 3 minutes for a, I think it was a Diet Coke. And she's ordering an everything bagel. Everything on it, not just a plain bagel. You have everything at your fingertips and you're complaining you got to wait a few minutes? In a third world country where they don't even know what a bagel is? Gratitude. Keep it in front of you at all times. All times. Where the was I here? Mountains. Oh, yeah. The other thing about mountains, too, is, you know, in the Bible is so neat. And I just, again, I want to talk about this message called The Climb. I mean, so many amazing things happened to Jesus on a mountain. You had what we said in Matthew 4. Satan, he was up on a mountain when he's getting tempted by Satan, right? You had the transfiguration was on a mountain with Jesus. You had Calvary, him walking up to, not a mountain maybe, but an elevated place. And then you had the ascension on a mountain. Something about mountains. I think it has a lot to do with perspective of things, and we need to know that. But let's dive into some of these. We won't get able to go through all the Beatitudes. But so the first one, and Jesus is very intentional, is saying blessed. And again, I can just see the disciples, you know, thinking that this is a great thing. We've hooked our train up to this wagon or whatever. Like I said earlier, you know, he's going to preach how we can be blessed. Imagine in our modern church. I have a message for you. Do you want to be blessed? Here we go, right? Here's how you're really going to be blessed. Blessed if you are poor in spirit. Pastor Chris, what do you think they were thinking there? What did Jesus say? And many of you know this, but to go through it. But it's such, you've got to settle this. This is such an important thing because everything else doesn't really come behind it in the way God has designed it in your life. Blessed is poor in spirit. Jesus is telling his disciples that, I know you left me to come follow me. I gave you that invitation, and I thank you for that. But we got to go a little further in this journey. Don't be attached to anything but my Father. I need you to be poor in what you think you need maybe at times. You need a donkey to ride and walk? I don't need you to be attached to that. It seems like really minuscule things, but walking's a big deal back then. I need your family. You left? Don't be attached to that. Rich in spirit, which it's great to be rich financially. Don't always go to money when we think. That's great if God's blessed you and you are using it for his kingdom. But rich in spirit germinates pride in spirit because I have created what I need and can sustain what I need. Now, when I maybe one phone call from my knees, onto my knees, if a call of somebody pass away or something happens, I may need you, God, then. But I'm all right. I got everything. He's telling his disciples, don't be attached to anything but God. but God. Then he goes further. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Two parts to this. The heart of it is, we as Christ followers, if you've decided to do that, we need to mourn when we see sin affect people and things in our lives. Those are looking through God's lens, Jesus' lens. This modern culture, and I'm guilty too, we've kind of comatosed over things sometimes. So if my brother's dealing with something, maybe addiction or sin, and I just think that that's a norm, and I don't, in love, help that person, I'm not helping him or her. It's mourning for the things that God mourns for. Mourning. Then he goes on, blessed is the humble. Jesus is saying, I'm talking about kingdom business, the gospel of the kingdom, which is a word, these words are in, it's in the Bible, I'm not making this up. These are words that we're going to start hearing a lot more down the road here, because the gospel of the kingdom includes the birth of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, let's go a little higher, the ascension of Jesus, which we can't forget about, which allows us to have a second coming of Jesus. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And when he comes again, as we've been starting to talk about more and more, he is going to establish his kingdom. And you and I have been invited to be citizens of that. So he's saying this again. This is a practice. He wants his disciples to practice these things and live them out because they're a part of this kingdom. He said, blessed is the humble. He's saying, guys, you don't understand where this is going. This is going far beyond your imagination of what God's going to do in and through me, through Jesus, and you as well. You're not just spectators. And he's encouraging them that you need to be humble in that, because at the end of the day, you know it's not you. It's God working in you. And that alone in this kingdom. Following my Father. He goes on, he says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for the things of God. Just see the disciples like, okay, well, what do you mean? I mean, I get hungry every day, Jesus, but what are you talking about? It's like, well, here's a real life example you can see. How about those Pharisees? They hunger and thirst for power. And look where they are. They hunger and thirst for power. They take things for their gain and their benefit. Then he goes on, he says, and blessed are those that are merciful. Because Jesus reminds them, I chose you. Peter, when you were pulling in fishing nets, I chose you. Fisherman, an accountant. You're going to be part of this movement that is going to revolutionize the world. I chose you. I gave you that mercy. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it, right? But God is merciful for us. God is merciful for us. So you just see the disciples taking all this in. I'll hit the other ones in a minute. I know there's three other ones. But then I want to talk about us right now. How are you hearing this right now? If Jesus told you to go climbing and you don't know where you're going, and he's going to sit you down in 2024 and say, I have some things that you need to practice. The other underlying things of these practices in the kingdom is if we don't practice them and we say we're followers of Christ, I'm not being coy or corny, but they're called the Beatitudes, you begin to get an F attitude. See, if I'm not following any of these practices, I'm going to gain attitudes in my life that are going to keep me from what God wants to do in my life. So it's 2024. How do these things settle in? Poor in spirit. Well, I know for me, I have to meditate on Scripture. that makes me want to be totally dependent on God. Some days are easier than others, but that's my goal. Can we go to Psalms 21, 1-3? Psalms are filled with beautiful scriptures that remind us that our hope, our trust, and everything comes from Almighty God. Psalm 21, 1-3. How the king rejoices in your strength, O Lord. He shouts with joy because you give him victory. For you have given him his heart's desire, and you have withheld nothing. Request on the interlude. Third one. You welcome him back with the success and prosperity. You place a crown on the finest gold of his head. Look up to the mountains. I think I gave you the wrong scripture. I apologize back there. This is the one I thought I was reading. Look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. God does not need a rest. Psalm 23, we know this well, but look through the lenses of his own dependent and being poor in spirit in our lives and only dependent on him. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Period. He lets me rest in green pastures. This is a whole other message. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, brings honor to his name, even when I walk through the darkness valley. I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Doesn't say he's going to pick you up and fly you over them, these dark valleys. He's going to be close beside you. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. A shepherd's rod would protect because it could push at that sharp end. And it could comfort him when it had to, a sheep, you had to lead a sheep with that circle part at the end. Very visual. God will do that for you. You prepare a feast. This is beautiful. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Man. I'll leave that there. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. Ooh. And my cup overflows with blessing. Surely, look what's going to happen then. Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Let's keep going about this. Psalms 46, 1-3, again, poor in spirit. I'm not attached to anything else but God. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in the time of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come, which they're coming and they have, and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. I think that's where I ended right there. But God being with us, he knows where we are right now, where you are. Being poor in spirit means you owe nobody anything else. We've heard this before. Satan comes to, I don't want to save my soul. I don't want to gain the world and lose my soul. Oh, yeah. Right? The enemy wants you to be attached to things that are not God's things, because there will be a payday at some point. Let's get to mourning. When Jesus talked about blessed are those who mourn. And it's like, what? This does not make sense, Jesus, but you know the best here. Again, how does that work in 2024? As I said earlier, we need to be disgusted and mourn for things that are sinful in us and around us. Period. It's not easy every day because we get numbed. It's just a normal. I could go down a track right now, but I'm not going to go there. We don't have time, and I will at some point. Even in America, what happens? From womb to the tomb, what happens? We need to cry and mourn for that. Because God's and Jesus is mourning for that. Because sin led to that. But it gives us an opportunity for those around us to speak the truth in love so people don't have to experience that. The other part of this is mourning from a loved one passing away that each and every one of us has and will experience. We mourn for the connection of the relationship being gone on this physical earth. But God's mourning because the residual of sin led to that. Nothing wrong with the person dying, but we're living under the curse of the sin of the law. Physical death. Boy, it's not so, right? Physical death. We cannot get away from that. But mourn for that when it happens. Obviously, the relationship we leave is a mountain in itself. But also mourning that this world is a fallen world. That I had to die, even if I had no health issues, because sin is in the world and I'm only going to live to 90 or 100 at best. Sin. We weren't designed to live so short lives. That's mourning. Blessed are those that mourn. They will be comforted. Another thing I want to talk about this in 2024 is many of you have a unique way of mourning for things. Maybe head under the pillow. Maybe we're human. An ostrich in the sand. This is the way I deal with things. You got to mourn. You got to cry. Your soul is raging. You got to be genuine. You're hurting. That's okay. Jesus is going to come alongside that. But mourn. Mourn. Praise God. Amen. Boy, this is number three. Doesn't get any better. Remain humble. Humble. Humility is so important. And it's something you grow in. It's not like a microwave solution. You hit a minute and, ooh, I'm humble. Look at me. And then itself, are you? You know? It's something you have to grow in. But the more I've learned over life, the better you grow in is when you're tested in. It's not a textbook solution. You can read all books of humility, and the author of the Bible is the main book in this that you need to read. And the authority of this and wisdom. But humility, you have to experience it to grow it. You have to get it. You have to be in front of that and work out. Jesus saying, blessed if you're humble. I mean, look at Jesus. I did not come to be served in Matthew, or later in Matthew. I did not come to be served, but to serve. That's humility. 2024. Are you humble? Or do you think you're all that? When humility grows, God begins to trust you even more. I saw this clip of a pastor. His name's Ed Young, and you'll know the next name if you don't know Ed. And he's got a church in Texas, and he was interviewing Dr. Phil. Those of you know Dr. Phil. He's a Christian, been a believer for years, and he used to attend this church. So they were doing an interview style, and Ed said to him, he's like, yeah, it was one day I was driving in, my wife and I, and there's Dr. Phil parking cars with a vest on, serving. And Dr. Phil says this as it relates to humility. He says, if I ever get too big to serve, I'm certainly too small to lead. Chew on that. If I ever get too big to serve, whatever is in front of you, that God puts you in front of, most likely you're going to be too small to lead. Because it's not about you to begin with. And you guys hold me accountable, hopefully. Being up here. Not how great I am. I mean, God's anointed me, and that is great. Thank you, Father. But every day I'm knowing that I am poor in spirit and the humility that leads me through this. But it's so, because if you don't have humility, and they say meekness, and meekness is not weakness. Meekness, the whole gospel of love is for others and not yourself. So it's going to be a logjam at some point in your life if you don't grow humility. There's the false sense of humility either comes from two places that I can, there may be more. False sense comes from insecurity usually, or totally unaware, unawareness. So here's just a, again, I've done some of this, so I'm not preaching what I haven't had to correct. Some things. So if I come to you, hey, Pastor, hey, how was your day, Charles? I'm just putting Charles on the guild here. He didn't say this. We love Charles. Charles, how'd your day go and where were you? Oh, I was with, you know, I was at a ball game and, you know, I was in front of a whole bunch of people and they're asking, I met somebody who was asking about me and you know, but you know what, Pastor? I didn't let them know that I was a Christian. Or Charles says, yeah, Pastor, I was at a ball game, da 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 da, and I got a lot. And I forgot to, instead, he says this, I forgot to tell them how much they're loved by God. Those are two different spectrums coming out of the same mouth. If I'm not humble, it's about I. If I'm humble, it's about the God I serve. And I don't want to make this a law, but you have to, sometimes low hanging fruit is low hanging fruit that's rotting. Does that make sense? Be humble. Be humble. Jesus was humble. Hunger and thirst. So 2024, just to give a little example, we are not finishing this today. So, and I want to hold you up because of this illustration. I love gummy bears, all right? So Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. I will eat a gummy bear if I'm hungry or not, because my appetite is a gummy bear, would love a gummy bear. How much more for the things of God if we do not create appetites for the things of God, will we fulfill it through our hunger and thirst for God? So if I'd rather watch the new Netflix thing that's 8 series long, but I haven't read my Bible in 2 months, what am I hungering and thirsting for? And you're creating an appetite, because wait until the next Netflix series comes out. Appraise your appetite, know your hunger, and what are you thirsting for? There is no condemnation within Christ, but there is conviction. And that's what we're doing right now. Mine's gummy bears. Don't get me gummy bears. All right. Let's talk about the hunger and thirst now. Get me more serious. Go to 1 Peter 2:12, 2:2. 1 Peter, I want to reference scripture to this. And Peter was diving right into this. Talking about hunger and thirst. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Create an appetite for this nourishment now that you have a taste of the Lord's kindness. Boy, there's nothing better flavorful than the Lord's kindness in your life. Back to that faithfulness we talked about earlier in the service. Hunger and thirst, so important. Mercy, let's get back to mercy. Jesus said, blessed are those that are merciful. Here in 2024, are we too quick to judge and not show mercy to our fellow Christian brothers, let alone those who don't know Christ? Do we judge too quickly when there's a space where mercy needs to go in? Because you can finish my sentence. Wasn't God merciful to you? We need mercy and grace that comes along with that. But if we're too busy judging, here's the additives. I can get this in today. So the other few Beatitudes is pure of heart. We hit this. So Jesus said, blessed are those that are pure in heart. Proverbs says, guard your heart. We know this, right? Because out of that, the issues of life happen. So there must be something with the heart. Pure, be pure. No agendas. Be authentic here in 2024 and beyond. Especially as Christians, We get these Christianese things going, and it's like, no, how are you? Bless God, I'm fine, and blah, blah, blah. And that may be a good statement of faith. I don't want to discount that. We need to have that. But no, how really are you? Jesus wanted to know where people were. He knew where they were most of the time, but he needed to hear from them. So in pure of heart, be authentic. You know what that may lead to? Ugh, Pastor, I don't like this anymore. This may lead to raw conversations. Sometimes we hide from raw conversations. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. I just don't understand this. We need to have those open and honest. The world has no problem doing it. Why can't we connect in a loving community to do it? Raw conversations. Be authentic. Pure of heart. Thinking the best of others before you think of yourself. Doesn't mean you're thinking of yourself less, is that quote that I've heard before. It's just thinking more of others. That's all. And boy, this is the one that I chew on sometimes. He says, blessed are those that are peacemakers. Man, do we need more of that. Again, this is all in the way Jesus structured these blessings. They all go handed. They go one on top, but they're all cumulative. Blessed be the peacemakers. What does that mean in 2024? Seek peace. No huge revelation, need prophecy and interpretation. Seek peace, seek peace, seek peace. Above all, the enemy he starts sweating when we become unified. And the unification happens when people individually become peacemakers. We may not agree on every little thing, but the major things will bring unity. There's power in unity. Excuse me. But it comes from peace. Jesus said he was leaving it. John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift. So he even calls it a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So if I'm attached to things in that first blessing, I'm not poor and I'm rich. I'm seeking peace when I have better cars to drive, better things to do, and those aren't bad. But don't let them have you. He's saying the world can't give you any peace. These items, these things. And most of these things that we get distracted. I was talking to somebody this morning. We were just talking. Most of the things we get all upset about, distracted about, really don't carry much eternal weight. Be a peacemaker. And it is the best one, especially with our political season coming up. Blessing for those who are persecuted. Woohoo! Amen. It's here and it's getting worse. It's not going to get any better. So us as a Christ follower, I know I'm going to step on some toes here. Am I going to take energy as a Christ follower, because I'm blessed if I'm persecuted? Do I try and fight the persecution and say, I've got my rights, you shouldn't persecute me? I know there's basic human rights. I'm not going against that. Follow my track here. But sometimes Christians will get so much energized about fighting things that are prophesied that are going to happen when we're supposed to be taking our energy and leading people into this kingdom we're talking about. Yeah. We've got to be careful. And there's times to fight. I'll use the word fight because that's what usually people want to say. Fight. Fight on your knees first, but fight. But let's not waste that energy. We're going to get persecuted. But there's a blessing in it if we are. I'm not welcoming it. I'm not running out to I-95 saying, persecute me, I'm a Christian. But when it comes, pray and say, I need to learn, Lord, what you're doing right now. I need your lens and what you're seeing right now. This is heavy stuff for a bless me message. Right? We have to be careful with that, and we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to be led by the daily, and I'm even making sure I'm doing this and I'm falling sometimes. You have to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you every day. Because things are shifting so quickly, and we may lean into our carnal understanding and not the spiritual understanding of what the blessings that Jesus said we can do if we practice these things to operate in the kingdom business. But see, here's what's happened. If we do these, and we don't have time today, I'm going to close. We'll have to pick this up next time. There's two other things I want to live. I want to analyze next time we talk about this, that some of you may think you're climbing, but you're still at base camp. Hopefully you welcome me back. But you're still at base camp. You're still at base camp, the comfy tent. You got a little bit, you know, you're there. Ooh, the wind's blowing. I'm persecuted. You know, whatever, you know. I'm sorry. But you're at base camp. And it's comfortable. But God wants you to climb. Climb to where he's going. Because that's where the true safety and provision is. When you're following him. Is it uncomfortable at times? Absolutely, but that's what faith's for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I do know God, and I know where he's leading me. Then the other thing I want to talk about next time we do is when we begin to practice these kingdom principles through these beliefs, we begin to do things that you can't do on your own. And make an influence to the people in the world around you, which is amazing. And that's where we become salt, the light, and all that. We'll get back into that next time. So I would stand. We love you. I love you. I'm challenged by this too. But it's where we got ahead. We're going. And God's leading us. Peter was very clear. Was it Peter or Jesus? You can correct me. We are not of this world, but we be in it. But we're in it. And that's the tug of war. But through God's grace, through the Holy Spirit daily speaking to you, directing you, you are going to see where God is leading you and where he's been calling you to be. And it's so greater than anything else you can imagine. I just want to leave you with this one. When he talks about you are the light, the city on the hill, does light work best in this room right now? It doesn't. It's nice because we're all believers, most of us. But light works best in darkness. It shows darkness out. Right? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come together as a church community, Lord. And we know the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us in this room and online because the Holy Spirit knows where we are. And it's okay if we're where we want to be or not be or over here, over there. We can rest in God's hands because you will pick us up. And bring us to a climbing position of where you're calling us to be. Lord, let this journey mature us. Mature us of how much you love us. Mature us of how much we're in a dying world around us. Lord, let our heart break for what breaks yours. Let us go through our Mondays into up to Sundays again, hearing your voice. Lord, where we've been challenged today, take that as grace served on a platter to run with that you can do these things. And if we do these things, Jesus, you were very specific. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. Thank you for loving us so much and giving us the Word of God that we can study and be our guide and be our final authority to grow us to where you're calling us to be. Lord, let no condemnation go out of this room today because you are a God of love and are leading us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus and some of what we've been talking about today, I would encourage you, come to the front after service. We have a prayer team that would love to pray with you. I'm not trying to get you to join a church. I want you to join the family of God. Just come out, and we would love to pray with you, because there's what you're hearing today is truth and the gospel, and there's more to this. And Jesus wants to meet you where you're at. So come down after service. I just want to do a prayer with you quickly and talk to you. If you need prayer for any other thing, we have a prayer team here as well. Thank you for leaning in today. I sense you were leaning in. And we'll see you next time. God bless you.
Shake up the ground. Good morning. Welcome to Faith Christian Center. We're so happy you could join us this morning. I'm Irene Hudson, a member here at Faith Christian Center in Seekonk. You know, Pastor Chris's message about climbing that mountain, they climb that